The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club.
What up, Orange Country? It's your boy, Emmer, and Loaded Epi once again, so let's get right to it. Oh boy, had a little at-home incident yesterday. Burned my finger cooking. That's why I just don't get me around a kitchen. Don't get me around any type of Tupperwares or hot pans, you name it, grease. That's what happened. Little olive oil. Boom. Little micro burn there. Okay. I don't even know what you could classify this burn as. It's not even it's like a grade one. Not first degree, but you know, minor, maybe grade fourth degree or something like that. I have no clue. So I'll be all right. Nonetheless, I joined the list of hockey players, right? Jack Hughes with the broken glass incident, and you got Alexei Toropchenko there with the at-home fire incident, getting some burns. We're wishing them speedy recoveries and all the best, but yeah, keep me in your thoughts as well as I deal with my finger here. Well, it's an epi that it's a learning epi, this one. It really is. It's so much to talk about. How do we better ourselves in our own individual games? We'll touch on that. But I tell you what, through the midst of this Anaheim Ducks team currently, last 10, 500, couple wins, couple losses. But how important is getting a good start or having stretches of good play, right? I mean, if this is our worst, 500, we're in a good spot. We really are. And I'm talking, obviously, we're over 500 as a record, but I'm just this last window here. If this is our worst in this last window and we're still 500, really good, really good. But it just goes to show, when the game's on the line and you're up by two, close those things out, right? I mean, those are part of playing good throughout those good stretches, the full 60-minute games. Great start, so on and so forth, but look to close those games out and look to go on 5-6 games heaters, right? So you can make up for times like this. But boy, does it feel good, Orange Country, to be a part of an organization or supporting an organization that is just competitive, game in and game out, guys young and old taking the next steps of their careers. We always talk about the young guys taking those big jumps, the Cutter Gauthiers, the Leo Carlsons, right? Jackson Lacombe, so on and so forth. How about Pavel Mentikov here, the last couple of games being a dog? But how about the older guys taking a big step at this point in time in their careers? The list goes on. Jacob Trouba, Radko Gudas. I mean, he's doing the same things that he's always been doing, but he's getting the lanes. He's still laying the body. He's keeping pucks alive. Defensively, how about this? I'll end Radko Gudas, the butcher, on this note. Last game wasn't pretty. We all know that. He was even. 7-0 loss. Nationally televised game, tough. The bright spot, for me, if I'm just a fan, Radko Gudas and Ian Moore were even in that game, plus minus wise. So if you're looking for a positive storyline within unfortunate circumstances, there it is right there. That's a micro win from a player standpoint. That's incredible. How do you have 7 goals against and you find yourself even, not letting up any? It's just, there's bright spots. Well, more good stuff we're going to cover here, and it has to do with some of the top 6 scoring. It really does. Ways that these guys are elevating their own individual games from a skills perspective. So we're going to talk about 2 skill perspective, whether you're new to the game of hockey or you're a seasoned vet. Okay, been here since 93. Appreciate you. We're going to learn some stuff here. And it's from the good guys here, our very own. So, Steph, why don't we toss up the Troy Terry Q&A and learn a few things here. Talk about it after.
Troy, you hear the expression having good top hand strength a lot these days. I think that had a lot to do with that first assist that you got on that first goal with Cutter there. Maybe talk a little bit how that came into play on that play, and what do you do in order to get better top hand strength?
You mean like the...
Just you corralling the puck with that top hand. You'll hear skill coaches talk about having that strength with the top hand.
Yeah, it's actually something I've started to work on. It's just even just being able to, you know, corral pucks with one hand without, you know, while still going the same direction, and like just that type of being strong on the top. And I think, I was able to corral it, and then just kind of being able to push the puck forward to find the passing lane over to Cutter, but also be able to then like be able to kind of hook it and slide it under the stick.
Appreciate the insight.
Yep, thank you.
Well, that was a great play. It was an unbelievable play, and let's find out what the call was, and I'll elaborate a little bit more.
All right, we're underway in earnest now at United Center, and immediately black and white, the Blackhawks are out there. Anaheim comes to center ice after taking it away. Troy Terry moving in, centers, and a shot, they score! Cutter Gauthier! How about that? 15 seconds in to period one. The Anaheim Ducks grab a 1-0 lead.
What a start for the good guys. How about that one-handed corral at the Ozone Blue Light from Troy Terry before he kicked it out? Oh, my. Cutter Gauthier making no mistake. Slam dunking that one home. Oh, could you have asked for a better start, Steve? I don't think so. Yeah, it's the top hand strength there. And Troy Terry mentioned kind of how he configures his body to continue on with the puck. But you'll hear Adam Oates. He's a guy who, and I just saw a video of Connor Garland. And you got that Graf guy in the San Jose Sharks organization there. They're picking up one puck amongst a pile of pucks with one hand. And if you see it, it's not like they're hunched over and they're overly engaged. One thing that Adam Oates really talks about is relaxed shoulders. And it's almost like it's relaxed shoulders, you're calm, cool, and collective in the storm. So relaxed shoulders, but you're confident and you're just grabbing that puck with authority with one hand. You could do it with one hand a little bit closer if you're in a closer vicinity, or, you know, when it really comes in handy is you're getting pressured from the weak side. You got to grab it in a hurry, but you don't want to meet the skates to the puck. That just takes more time, right? So you got to reach, corral that, get low. And so it's such a important skill set to have when it comes to efficiency, saving time under duress. And you never know when you can't get a puck with two hands. There takes a certain level of a shorter distance, right, to be able to grab a puck with two hands. But when it's so far out of reach and all you got is that one hand, you got to have that top hand strength. And it comes as a skill set and a habit, and you can apply it in so many different areas. You just never know when you're going to need that one hand. There's guys, Nino Niederreiter was a guy in the CHL top prospect game my year who threw his glove and went bar down with one hand. So you want to talk about the ultimate top hand strength there? Go check out Nino Niederreiter's CHL top prospect goal. Just YouTube it. We'll get into YouTube a little bit later there. But it's incredible. So you need it. You're talking about, oh, hey, how can I work on just that overall, or at least preparing for that to translate on the ice? Wrist curls. Wrist curls. You just take you tie a skate lace to a little 5-pounder, and then you just roll that weight up, down, over and over. So that'll help with the strength. You got those hand grip things you go back and forth with, right? You squeeze tight. Those are probably the more common things you can do, but top hand strength, work on it. Just your local stick and puck, right? Pay the little fee, put 20 or so pucks on the ice, relax shoulders, okay? One hand grabs with those pucks. You'll never know when you need it.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide.
How about Chris Kreider and this goal from that same game? The legend, Steve Carroll. Let's listen to that beautiful voice of Steve. Steph, tee it up.
Kreider will send it up near the point, and Chicago will intercept and force it down into the Anaheim D zone. Quick pass up the ice. Seneca moving in a shot. He scores! The Canucks get another one. That might have been redirected in front of the net. Seneca shot it. Kreider was there. I'm just going to guess here that maybe Kreider got his stick on it. We'll wait and see.
Well, he's leading the train back to the Ducks players bench, so I got a feeling, you just said it, that, and we saw it, the replay on the Jumbotron. It's Chris Kreider, and here's the key. He positions himself on the inside of the guy I just gave a lot of credit to, Wyatt Kaiser. He gets on the inside there, giving him position to get his skate on the play. Might have been a combination of a skate and stick. Doesn't matter. He had the good habit there, getting to that blue paint. The good guys now up by three.
And that is so huge. To go on the strong side of the weak side D on entries, on middle drives. You don't want to get boxed out. You want to have an opportunity to get a stick on the play. And Kreider on that play started out boxed out. But he's such a dog, he fought to get to the inside last moment he got there. Okay, so regardless if it's late and you got to get on the inside, your bottom line, you're boxing that pressure player out and you're giving yourself an opportunity to finish that play by getting on the inside. And let's take a listen to what Kreider has to say in regards to how important middle drive is, and in particular, getting on the inside of that week's ID.
Kreider, congrats on 600 career points once again. And for you, a big part of your goal last game was getting on the inside of the weak side defenseman and really fighting for that inside position. When you're driving the net as a middle driver or just tracking the net in general, how important is getting that strong side position on that weak side D driving the net?
Yeah, I think every play is a little different, right? Context matters, but at the end of the day, trying to get underhand so you have leverage, you have strength, so you can't. I mean, that's something we tell all of our players on our team, not just our defensemen. If you're trying to box someone out or tie up a stick, right? You need to get a certain body position, put yourself in a certain spot. So trying to make that harder on the defenseman and then just giving, I think it's kind of building the forest on the back post, right? So if you can get there and get position, right, Beckett obviously makes an incredible play, very patient, but he's got four legs to potentially bank it off of, right? And so that's something that I think that I try to keep in mind whenever I'm positioning myself on that back post, especially if a team's playing man-to-man, like just bring a guy with you and double the size of the backboard for the good players to bounce it off of, right?
Appreciate the insight.
Awesome stuff there from Kreider. How about that? Create your own backboard. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff from the good guys. Steph, lay up my first National Hockey League goal. And this is higher. So I talked about Kreider and we just discussed how that was deep and late, how he finally found the inside there extremely late. Doesn't matter when. If you can get there earlier, obviously, right on the entry, boom, you get that inside position. Okay, try to get closer to the strong side puck carrier. Okay, and Ryan Poehlin had an unbelievable middle drive there last game. You want to talk about another guy who, under unfortunate circumstances just regarding the loss, playing great hockey, consistent hockey, out of the D zone, making the right reads, through the neutral zone, kicking the puck out. And, yeah, he stayed on the strong side of the weak side D, got a late tip on it. So almost a similar sequence. I was able to grab this puck with one hand off a great pass, great feed from Winnie, Daniel Winnick. What a beauty. Ducks fans will remember that name. And I put it as shelf as you can get, short side chi. But on the entry here, and I don't want to make this about myself. There's the documentary out right now, The Commute. Check it out, Victory Plus. Unreal. We'll get to that in a second. So I don't want to make this about myself. You use YouTube. Just type this one in, and you'll see what I'm referring to, even though we're going to listen to it now. But I get on the inside right away, right when I cross the offensive zone blue line, get on the inside, and that's what makes it so easy for Winnie to see me. Because if you're on the weak side of that weak side D, there's a visual blockage for the puck carrier, right? It's going to take a moment to process it, and the puck carrier might even be thinking, there's no way I'm even going to be able to get this puck because he's boxed out. So let's take a listen to my first National Hockey League goal.
Now they're playing with a different line combination. He's joined by Edom and Holland here. Edom in front gets his first NHL goal.
So there you have it. Once again, search it, YouTube, and you'll see what I'm talking about. How right when I cross that ozone blue line, boom, get on the inside of that weak side back checker. It's so important. Let's check in on our main man, Roger McQueen, tearing it up back east, college hockey. This is his head coach there at Providence, Mr. Nate Lehman. He's got some great insight on the elevated play of our first round pick in this past summer's draft.
Roger's offensive game, his pace, his intensity, his attention to detail, his level of attack has all really improved since the first game of the year. He's worked extremely hard. I think early in the year he was maybe not attacking the nets like he wanted to or like he could. And that has really, really picked up for him as far as taking his first step and really attacking the net, thinking about attacking the net, taking pucks hard to the net. His offensive game has been good, and it's really picked up since our first game of the year. So that's coming along really nice. I think there's been games where he's had, one goal, but he could have three. Because he's getting that level of chance within the game. So that's all been great. I mean, he did have a game this season, not too long ago, where he led our team in shots, chances for, hits and faceoffs. So that's almost like unicorn, like to lead a team in those four categories in a game. He's not afraid to throw his weight around. He gets involved. And the more he is involved on his face-offs and getting his body involved, the more chances he has. So all that is great. We're still developing, playing off the puck, and he's still learning, some of those areas, as well as continuing to get stronger. Those are the areas that that he's, continuing to improve upon. But overall, really good player, very coachable, great, great kid, and hopefully going to be a Duck for a long, long time.
Roger, I mean, how about these numbers? 11 points in 15 games, 4 goals, 7 assists, Hockey East, Providence College, 19 years old, playing against some guys 23, 24, grown men, almost done growing. And the crazy part is we all know the injuries from last season. Boom, he's cleared, he's healthy, he's ready to go. When you take that much time off of hockey, it's not easy to get back into it. So it's a testament to him for not only dominating Hockey East as it is, but being such a student of the game where you can come out of the gate flying. I think there's a learning curve first couple of games. But once again, learning from those first couple of games and now having 11 points, almost a point a game, in Hockey East, it's truly a great story, and if this is only the beginning, obviously it is for Roger, it's just huge. It's huge. With a 6'5", 197, size. We saw the dangles during dev camp, right, this past summer. Just so much good stuff right there. And, well, we got more to get to. Victory Plus, I talked about it. The commute, it's out. It's my journey. And one of the things that I did, took the bus, train, rollerbladed. Check it out. Great story. And when people ask, hey, how do I make it to the top, right? How do I make it to the top, whether it's the top field for being a lawyer, any category of law, medicine, any category of medicine and being a doctor? The sacrifice it makes, and at the end of the day, how do you get ahead, right? How do you get ahead from your colleague or your teammate or the opposition, right? It's one of the ways I had to do it. So when people say, hey, parents ask you, I mean, how did you make it? Boom. Don't always tell the story, but, you know, sometimes I'll just say, hey, you know, rollerbladed early in the morning, half hour, took the train, hour, big blue bus, 2.5 hours before my 2.5 hour workout, 2.5 hour workout on the way home. Boom. Another thing I did, it's interesting. I rollerbladed up hills. My parents lived in a very hilly, and they still have the same house they're living in Long Beach there. Very hilly, a lot of hills around. There's a hill called Airplane Hill where I wore my rollerblades in uphill after uphill, 100 yards, we say. I would say, what kind of degree incline? I'm not. It's pretty straight up. It's pretty straight up. You know that sand hill there in the Manhattan Beach area, that big sand hill that everyone runs up for workouts. Locals there, you know what I'm talking about. Same incline. I would take my rollerblades up this Airplane Hill and go like 20, 30, 40 times, about an hour a session up that hill. That's another thing. And it's funny. Like everyone, some people pick up on it, but when I was playing, the hunched over style of stride that I had, I think I attest that to me needing to lean forward as I went up the hill. How crazy is that? I didn't put two and two together till a little bit later on. But if you notice kind of me hunching over now, it was kind of a knock. Some of the scouts actually didn't like that I was too low. They thought it could maybe affect my peripheral. So it's interesting how things work out, but I think that would be good food for thought right there. How do I get ahead? I mean, how many young kids out there are rollerblading up hills? Really? Come on. That's a way you can get ahead right there, among other things. So here's my top five list as a hockey player you can get ahead. Let's get right to it. First, attend YouTube University. Please. There's so much good stuff. So Saul Miller, great sports psychologist. I worked with him at Shattuck St. Mary's. Shattuck brought him in when I was with the Canucks. You know, they were bringing him in at that certain time. He's got a great YouTube and kind of outdated, if you will. I mean, they're not really up to date. I don't know if he's still even practicing. He might be retired, but what a guy. And he goes over breathing. You know, breathing through your nose, closing your eyes, breathing through your nose, out through your mouth. He almost compares it to the waves of the ocean coming in, coming out. He uses this great reference of turning the channel on your TV. You have a bad shift, whatever. You come back to the bench. You know, you visualize a little bit how you can be better. But to put that last shift behind you, one of his great expressions is turn the channel. Turn the knob on the TV. I thought that was highly useful. So he's got kind of those tools, those tricks. Good mental stuff. How about putting Tony Robbins on repeat? That's another YouTube University hack right there. Hours at a time. How do you raise your standard? How do you look at yourself in the mirror? I got better. So this applies to hockey players, but this obviously also applies to you driving home from work, All great stuff. How about back to hockey? YouTubing Adam Oates. We've talked about it last few episodes, right? YouTube, Adam Oates, skills and habits. What is he teaching the players at the game's highest level? How about Daryl Belfry? We talked about him recently. Same thing. Just type in Daryl Belfry. Watch every single video. You'll add so many layers to your game. So that's number five. Number four, ChatGPT. Are you kidding? AI these days? Put in, say I'm, and reference it. Say I'm a hockey player. After the second period, I've been fatiguing. I've been burning out. And what can I add to my pregame meal that will help me not burn out late in my games? Boom. There you have it. Hey, give me a workout plan in which I can get more explosive off my starts if I'm a hockey player. Boom. Utilize it. It's so easy. The resources are right at your fingertips here in 2025. Anything that applies to across the board. I can go on. I can list 1,000 things where if you're looking to get ahead within your own regiment, ChatGPT it, baby. Number three, find the thing that you can't play without. For me, and this isn't, you know, nutrition advice for me, I needed to play with 5-hour energy. I just needed my 1 5-hour energy bottle. I just did. If I didn't have it, I knew it wasn't going to be a good night for me. And it's just that thing that if we don't have, we know it's not going to propel us to the best of our abilities. Call it mental, call it a superstition, call it whatever, but it's a confidence booster, right? When you know you have everything you need in order to have a great night. And for me, if I didn't have that 5-hour energy, for some reason, the nervous energy would kick in. Then my legs would be shot first shift. Weird. Okay? It just, that's what it was for me. Just don't be like Mitch Callahan, my good buddy. Just what a beauty Mitch is. He's from SoCal, of course, was in the Red Wings organization. Just don't be like him and taking 2 extra strength as he did playing in the Western Hockey League. He took 2 extra strength 5 hours prior to puck drop. And then, Mitch. Anyway, yeah, don't take the 5-hour. That'll get the heart buzzing too much. I'll leave it at that. Yeah, just the one original. But once again, not nutritional advice. I'm just saying that is the one thing I needed, or else I knew I was cooked. How about this? Shoot 1,000 pucks a day. If you're Steph Curry in basketball, we know he's shooting 10,000. If you can be courtside seats, sitting down and drain like 10 in a row or whatever those crazy videos shows him doing, that's all repetition. Okay, guys who don't shoot as many as him can't do that. It's plain and simple. It's just simple math, simple science. We heard Kobe Bryant in those 4 a.m. gym stories, right? Everyone else was sleeping. He was in the gym. He was shooting. Hockey players, it's weird, right? You just say, I mean, why are we even talking about that? Don't hockey players shoot? No, I honestly work with a lot of players out there still, and a lot are not shooting enough. 25, 30 pucks. That's just not going to do it, right? A day. It's just like every other day, 50 pucks. Come on. If you're just getting going, you start at 3,000. If you're just getting going, you're starting at maybe 300. If, you know, you start feeling that callus on your hands, then you taper off, right? When you start feeling that little, this blister's coming in, then you taper off, and that's how you build those calluses. Okay, then that feeling of the blister will come in at like 400, 450, 500. And then boom, you got so much callus buildup, 1,000 per day, no problem. Do you think there are many players out there shooting $1,000 a day? No. No, that is just one way, easy. Have a net in your backyard, whatever the case may be, 1,000 shots, easy way to get ahead. Because why? There's just not too many people, what, even doing like 200, 300? Come on. Come on. Even the, just such a great coach, Willie Desjardins, went to the Memorial Cup this past season with, of course, Gavin McKenna, the highly touted potential first overall pick there, right? They went to the Memorial Cup. He's coached at the game's highest level, NHL, Vancouver, Kings. And he just called me, hey, Hammer, how many bucks you shoot? I give him a number. Hey, that's not good enough. Even at the NHL level. Okay, guys, shooting pucks more than others. That's how they're getting ahead, plain and simple. So shoot more pucks. If you shoot 1,000 a day, just know that you're pretty much guaranteeing that it's not even close when it comes to outdoing your competition. That's the key. Last but not least, how about this resource, ladies and gentlemen? Live Barn. I didn't have Live Barn when I was playing. Like my general, we didn't have video cameras in these rinks, and you're able to watch your own practices. How about that? If you're a beer league player, adult league player, watch your games. Okay, you like beer, whatever, another excuse. Hey, Chris, come on over. Let's crack open a cold one and let's watch our last game, Live Barn, boom. I don't know, what is it, $20 a month or whatever it is? Easy. Something that a lot of players didn't have back in the day. And here's the best part about it. If your coach tells you, hey, you didn't gap up on that play or you didn't go stick and buck, and you know you did, you can just go home. You save that thought. All right, I know I did. Go home. Screen record it. Take it back to next practice. Hey, coach, you say you thought I didn't gap up there on that play? Take a look at this. Live Barn. Boom. I'll probably be so embarrassed that he sits you for the first period. But that's what happens. Call him out. Call her out. Hey, oh, you didn't go stick on puck there? You know you did. Boom. Show your coach the next practice. Yes, I did. But regardless, that's just, I'm just saying you could use that for reference whenever you need it. But you can see, oh, I'm not going fast enough on that high-low drill to start the practice. Oh, I got better. Or I did cut that corner there. Oh, I'm gonna go even deeper, even more speed behind the puck. You get what I'm talking about. The tools, the software, the resources that all the players, you all out there, youth hockey players, all up to adult league players, use those resources that are at your disposal. So there's my list, top five of ways as a hockey player. Oh, you could, oh, my lawyers or doctors out there, there's a couple. Tony Robbins, Saul Miller, visualizing before that big procedure. Yeah, so top five list of ways you can get ahead. Watch The Commute. It's so good. It's on the Victory Plus app. And thanks to all that were involved in putting that out, my journey. And it's just another way that I was able to get ahead from my career. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Eat 'Em Up. We'll catch you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.